From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn, and I'm the politics and society editor for The Conversation. I'm talking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the COVID situation continues to be exceedingly grim. The numbers in New South Wales are terrible, and Victoria looks like it probably won't come out of the lockdown on Thursday night as was originally planned. What extra measures is the federal government putting in place to speed up vaccination and curb the spread of the disease?
It did announce this week that Moderna had been provisionally approved.
Today we have been given the green light to take another very important step forward to implement our national plan on the path forward out of COVID-19. The Therapeutic Goods Administration has given provisional approval for the use of Moderna for Australians aged 18 years and over. This means we have an additional 25 million doses of Moderna.
So that will boost the vaccine stock somewhat in coming months. But basically, it's got, of course, its economic programs in place. There doesn't seem much more it can do except to try to get the actual rollout more efficient. We know, of course, that the chemists are being brought on board, and that's not before time. But it's really a case of just hoping that these lockdowns, especially in New South Wales, work, and, as I say, attempting to smooth out some of the difficulties in the rollout itself. But, for example, the aged care workers are still, many of them, unvaccinated. So it just seems that the government is not able to get on top of the basics of delivering the vaccine, and that's before you even get to the supply problem, which is still a very great constraint, indeed the major constraint.
Meanwhile, there are people who are continuing to be restless about lockdowns, especially as though we look as though we're going to be in and out of lockdowns, at least in the major cities, until a lot more of us are vaccinated. George Christensen had some very strong words to say about this in Parliament, didn't he? Including he argued that masks don't work. Can you tell us about that?
Time we stop spreading fear and acknowledge some facts. Masks do not work. Fact, it has been proven that masks make no significant difference in stopping the spread of COVID-19. Lockdowns don't work. Fact, lockdowns don't destroy the virus, but they do destroy people's livelihoods and people's lives. Studies have shown they can even increase mortality rates.
Well, he was really denying the seriousness of COVID. That was his basic point, I think. He was saying that masks don't work, that lockdowns don't work, that we need to open up to get back to normal. He was condemning the health bureaucrats, the posturing politicians, as he put it, and in general, trashing, I guess you'd say, the whole effort to get on top of the pandemic. Now, Anthony Albanese jumped on these remarks. The Christensen remarks were made just before question time, and Albanese moved a motion condemning them and Christensen.
I seek leave to move the following motion. This Parliament applauds the sacrifices made by the Australian people to keep each other safe. The Parliament thanks the heroes of the pandemic, our scientists, doctors, nurses, aged care and disability workers, cleaners and other essential workers. This House condemns the comments of the member for Dawson prior to question time, designed to use our national parliament to spread misinformation and undermine the actions of Australians to defeat COVID.
And that put the government into quite an awkward position, because normally it would just shut down the Albanese move, but if it did that, it knew it would be associated with these very provocative and unhelpful Christensen remarks. So it let the debate go, and the Prime Minister himself replied. But really, he didn't condemn Christensen. He simply said that the government did not support misinformation wherever it was, but he wasn't going to allow this to be a partisan issue because the Australian people didn't want COVID to be a political matter. I think it was a very weak reply, but it did show the power of the Nationals, and in this case, just one National holding the government hostage. Because, of course, if Christensen went to the crossbench, the government would lose its majority.
And in more grim news, we had a terrible report on climate change this week. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has released another report showing that the window to avoid catastrophic climate change is very small and closing rapidly. How has the government responded to this?
Scott Morrison today had a press conference in which he defended the government's record. Essentially, we heard that it wouldn't take the route of higher taxes to tackle the problem. It was all about technology.
The Australian approach is not to tax them or deny them the employment and the jobs and the industries that they should have, just as we should have them here in this country, but to enable them. World history teaches one thing: technology changes everything. That is the game changer. Governments, political leaders can pretend to these things, but I'll tell you what makes the difference. Technology changes on the ground.
What we didn't hear, however, was anything new. Now, I think that the government will try and produce something that's new before the Glasgow conference at the end of the year. It probably won't take much of a step. The big question that we've been talking about for months is whether it'll embrace a firm target of 2050, although other countries now, of course, are talking about much closer targets than 2050. But to even get to the 2050 firm target, Scott Morrison's got to get the Nationals' approval, and he is at this point a good way away from doing that. He may get it eventually, but equally he may not.
And does having Barnaby Joyce return to the role of Deputy Prime Minister and leader of the Nationals make that harder?
I think it does, because Barnaby Joyce, of course, was very critical before he became leader of the 2050 target. Now he's been saying, well, show me the price, show me how you get there, who's going to pay the cost. It could go anyway, knowing Barnaby Joyce, you just can't predict. Incidentally, he's not here this week. He's in his electorate because he went home the other day. And of course, that electorate now has COVID and is restricted.
All right. Well, Michelle, great to talk to you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.